Blog Talk Radio.
Human Rights for Prisoners March. Good evening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed Nina Simone singing "I Wish That I Knew How It Felt to Be." And we start off many of our programs with Nina Simone's record because it really shows you how many, many people feel today, who, especially those who are behind bars, those who are prisoners. Now, we usually think about prisoners as being people who have committed crimes, usually against people. They've hurt people, either physically or financially. They took something that belonged to another person. They ignore people's property rights and their personal safety. So those are usually the people that we think of when we think about prisoners, people who have ignored other people's safety, they violated another person, or they've taken property that belongs to other individuals. But I want to let you know that there is a second category of people who are incarcerated today, and these are individuals who owe debts. Oh, that makes you tremble, right? Because you probably owe debts. In fact, in America, many, many people owe debts, and they're not always necessarily able to pay their debts timely. So the name of this show tonight is Human Rights for Prisoners March, Debtors Prison. We have made a return, it seems, at least on a small scale, to debtors' prisons in the United States of America. What's happening is that your debtors, people that you owe, are going and getting warrants based on you not paying your bills. And I think that it's being written up as fraud. So if you made a bill and you agreed to pay X amount of money every month by such and such day, and you don't honor that contract, then it could be said that you committed fraud. And there are people in jail for fraud right now today, when it's actually a case of the individual not being able to pay their debts timely. So it's a new twist on it, but it's still debtor's prison. And unfortunately, we lost an individual who died in debtor's prison in Pennsylvania. Miss Eileen, and I don't have her last name in front of me right now, but she was arrested because of her children's truancy, and she was the mother of 7 children. I think she still has 4 or 5 who are still minors. And over the course of years raising her children, some of them would skip class. And if they were caught and she would be fined for their truancy. And she owed about $2,000 in fines, according to the state of Pennsylvania. Now, we know that some of that may also have been fees attached to fines if she didn't pay them initially. So we don't know what their original debt was, but it was $2,000 by the time they went and picked Miss Eileen up and took her to jail in Pennsylvania, where she died. And she died rather mysteriously. I'm not sure whether they found out what killed her yet or who killed her yet. But this is the most extreme case of debtor's prison that we know about, except that in another state, there are 6 men who were arrested on federal charges, and I believe charged with a federal case of fraud. And they are the IRP6. These are 5 black and 1 Caucasian software executives who were showcasing software to the U.S. government that they hoped to sell to the U.S. government. And when they showcased it to the government, Homeland Security, they were told certain specifics that the government would like for them to do to this software. It was security software they were developing to make it tailored for their purposes. So these 6 software executives went to temporary companies, and they hired temporary employees who were technical people to come to their company and help them to tweak their software and make it fit the specifics that the government had laid out to them. They got behind in the temporary company's bills, and one day there was a raid on their software company. There was a raid on the software company, and everybody there was made to feel like a criminal while the government went through all of the computers. They said it was dealing with the temporary service company's fees that had not been paid timely. However, the way they went through all of the computers, downloading information, it made IRP6 executives feel like they were looking for their software, perhaps in an attempt to loot the company of it, to take it. But that's neither here nor there. These people are incarcerated for primarily for overdue bills to temporary service companies. So let that be a warning to all business owners. So, yes, people are being arrested for bills. I have here on the line with me Dr. Jean Kennedy, organizational psychologist, out of California who found herself in hot water here in Atlanta, the Atlanta metro area. And she will be able to tell you more about that. But she was arrested for a driving violation, arrested on the spot. It wasn't that she did a hit and run or anything like that. It was a matter of her receiving a ticket that she was told had to be paid immediately. And when she could not pay this ticket immediately, she went from her car directly to jail that moment. And that was in Smyrna, Georgia. I'm going to turn it over to her right now because we're going to do a series of discussions on debtor's prison, and we're going to include all incidences where people have been taken to jail because they don't have the money to make immediate payments on traffic tickets, or they have bought something on time and they didn't make the payments timely, or where they were their bill became a charge for fraud. We're going to discuss those cases on Human Rights for Prisoners March over the next 2 or 3 weeks. We decided to start tonight, and I will give you now to Dr. Jean Kennedy. Dr. Kennedy, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine, my sister. Good evening. Good evening to you and your audience. Thank you so much for your kind invitation to come on your network, and congratulations on your network. And I know that you have a steady following, and I'm sure it's going to grow as you continue to talk about human rights violations. Indeed, we find ourselves being violated even by policies that are laws that are hurting and harming people. And this is a great show tonight to bring to the awareness of voters, because I think what happens is as voters we vote, and sometimes we vote very ignorantly. We don't really study what we're voting into law, and we don't realize at that point that somebody now is being violated by a very law. It's almost like putting a stop sign or a traffic light in a place that causes more accidents than not. If you can understand that scenario. And sometimes we have to remove a stop sign or some stop lights because it's causing too many accidents. It's not in the right place. And I believe that we are finding ourselves going back to a place in time where we are looking at even something like a debtor's prison. You know, this was created. Even Charles Dickinson spoke about debtors' prisons back there in England, and of course, you know, we're coming out of the European model, but even back as early as the 19th century, there was a confinement. Those who owed money, they would be arrested. I'm not talking about stealing money. Now, there's a difference between stealing money and owing money, because when you owe money, you're not stealing. But for some reason, are you there, sister? Let me know if I'm on the air. Am I still there?
Dr. Kennedy, you are on the air. I had blocked sound from my house, and you just
okay.
Go right ahead and proceed because you're
okay.
Coming through loud and clear, and so I may be away from the computer, but I hear you, and we all
great.
Hear you, and we're glad to have you join us here on Human Rights Demand. Go right ahead.
Great, wonderful. And so it's important for me to make sure that the listening audience is educated and understand why this subject of debtors' prisons be brought to your attention. We cannot be doing the work that we do around prison moratoriums, dismantling the prison pipelines. We cannot be talking about solitary confinement. We cannot be talking about the ill treatment that is happening in detentions. We cannot talk about how we take youth and put them into adult prisons and they spend half of their life coming out as an older man or woman because they've gone in at their youth. We cannot be talking about the kinds of treatment that happens in prison systems and not look at debtor's prison, because that is something that we have voted in, and it's costing the taxpayers to keep a person in prison simply because they cannot pay. Now, let me bring this home to you, and let's put some real when we think of my situation, for example, and let me give you a definition for what we mean by debtor's prison. When we talk about a debtor's prison, it is a prison for people who are unable to pay a debt. These prisons have been used since ancient time and even as early mid-19th century, and guess what? We have them still here today. There are some cities that have them. Smyrna is one of them. The police department does not have a budget for their police officers. And so in order for them to maintain their cars, in order for them to get the proper resources, and in order for them to build the capacity they need for more police on the beat, et cetera, they have to do that by the violations of tickets that they get from individuals. And if you go to any of the hearings in a Smyrna court, a traffic court, you will hear the judge very loud and clear, very, very specifically letting you know that is how the department, a police department in Smyrna, makes their budget. So you could just as well look at a police department thing that they're fundraising when they actually give you a ticket. Now, on February the 6th, I was traveling in Smyrna, and I was pulled over by a Smyrna police there who told me, said to me, I'm pulling you over because did you know that your emission was having excessive emission. Smoke is what he was saying. Now, understand that particular day, the temperature had fallen. We had just gotten out of the freeze, and if you remember, back in January, so many kids were not able to go to school, and employers had to close down. The streets had lots of black ice on it. Even that day that I was driving had black ice on the road. And I was here visiting with my daughter, to help her with her wedding plans, and I had temporarily moved over to stay with a colleague, and I was there moving my items. You could see my suitcase in my car. You could see lots of plastic bags. It was obvious that this person who was driving this car was in transition. And he told me that he pulled me over because he saw this excessive smoke. Now, I want you to know that I believe that was just an excuse, because I have not had any emission problem. My car has been in the store in Pep Boys, AutoZone, Napa. I have receipts to show that where they've had it had work as being done on it, and never was it ever mentioned to me that I needed to have emission work done. So I believe that this profiled me for some reason and decided to pull me over. I should mention to you that the front of my car, the plate, has an Africa flag on there, and it has in very bold print the words "Never Give Up." And so coming down the highway, and the police seeing that, you've got to believe that 9 out of 10 times is going to have to believe that is a person of color. How many Caucasians, with all due respect, would drive around with a car that would sport an Africa flag saying never give up? So, again, maybe he needed to meet quota. Maybe he needed to meet his quota that day. We don't know. But as he pulled me over, he then said to me, are you aware that you have California stickers on the back of your license plate? Well, of course I was aware, because I just registered my car in the state of California, and I wanted to be independent by not having to be a burden to my daughter or anyone else in terms of transportation. And I thought that it would be an opportunity for me to drive across state and come and visit with my daughter. And so, yes, I had California stickers, registration stickers on there. By the way, this police officer did not ask me to show him my registration papers, by the way. Isn't that interesting? He then asked me to show him my driver's license, at which point I pulled out my driver's license, and next door to my driver's license was also my EBT card. That is a federal program for those people like myself who don't have sufficient funds coming in, and thank God we live in a country that will at least provide for the poor, provide for those who cannot pay for their meals when they need to do that. And so I'm very thankful that I have that opportunity for that until I'm able to do otherwise. So now, when he saw my EBT card, he said to me, what am I doing with an EBT card? Now, listen, we're talking about Smyrna. We're talking about a police officer. I did not even know that an EBT card has anything to do with a traffic violation. But I'm giving you the full information so you realize how I ended up in the jail. Now, once he realized that my California driver's license was current and I was driving on that, he asked me, how long have you been in the state of Georgia? And I told him that I had been in the state of Georgia just over 30 days. Actually, I told him I came in January or late December, and now this was February 6th. He then decided that that was 30 days and I was in violation of a law. Listen to me carefully. A law that the Georgia residents voted in that says anybody who is driving in the state of Georgia past 30 days must receive a Georgia sticker and Georgia's license if you are a resident. Well, the difference between me and those who would get this, those items is that they are residents. I am not a resident of Georgia. I continue to pay my taxes to California, so I am not a resident of Georgia. So this police officer decided then, right there on the spot, to ask me to pay my ticket, and because he did not pay that ticket of $425, by the way, he proceeded to take me down to the Smyrna court for a judge to decide what to do with me. Upon my arriving at the Smyrna courtyard or court building, and apparently he supposedly went to speak to a judge because I certainly didn't see a judge. He then came out and asked me, are you going to pay cash or are you going to pay by a credit card? I said, I'm not paying either. I don't have that money on me at all. He then asked me to follow him in my car again. By the way, my car was never impounded, to follow him over to the Smyrna jail. He called it a detention center, at which point I was booked for 7 hours in this prison. Did you hear me? I was booked for 7 hours in a Smyrna jail. That is a deadest prison. There were four other females that was also in the same jail throughout the day that came in who also had similar traffic violations, who could not pay their ticket, and therefore they were also arrested. I am here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that in the state of Georgia, in a city called Smyrna, you will get a misdemeanor for a traffic violation, and you will be arrested if you cannot pay your ticket right there on the spot. They don't wait for you to come to court 30 days down the road to contest the ticket or to decide whether you're going to pay it or not pay it or go on probation or not probation or whatever the judge decides. You are automatically in criminal court. This is the way they run their budgets here in Smyrna. So I'm here to let you know that debtor's prison is alive and well. Now, how much did that ticket that I got for the so-called admission, let's go with that, how could three tickets come up to $425? That in itself is a very unusual number. It is my understanding, based on my research, that my admission ticket alone was only $25. And that is a discretionary, if the police so desires to arrest me or to give me a ticket. And so that was the cheapest ticket. The other two were worth $200 each. At least that's what we believe was that. I never was read my rights, and I won't tell you about the civil rights piece that took place, because I will just say this part. When I was arrested, I had to take out the clips out of my hair. I am a very Afrocentric sister that wears locks. Each one of my locks had sewn in African shells and rubber bands to keep my hair nicely groomed, and I was given a pair of scissors by the police department, I'm talking about Smyrna, to cut out every last one of my shells and my rubber bands and my silver trinkets that was in my hair. I had to cut out 24 shells, rubber bands, and a dozen silver trinkets that I had to cut out of my hair, and I was provided the scissors. Now, I have to ask you something. If my shells were going to be considered to be contraband, or if the rubber bands were considered to be contraband, or the silver ilex were going to be considered contraband, or the hair clips I had in my hair was going to be considered contraband, can someone explain to me why I would have been given a pair of scissors unsupervised to cut my hair? Now, those shells, those rubber bands, those trinkets are all in a sealed plastic envelope that the police department gave me. So I have that as a witness. Their signature is on it. So you have to ask me, how did those get into the bag then? How did they come out of my hair? So they have to explain. Now, why would they have asked me to cut those items? And by the way, as I was cutting out the thread, I had to cut through my own hair to get to the thread to cut that out. So I have ruined my beautiful God-given locks as a result of Smyrna's police department doing this to humiliate me. Also, I was asked to take off my civilian clothes and put on these orange pants. Why did I have to change off my clothes for 7 hours, to be arrested? And it was only the last part of the day, within the hour, that I was going to be released, because my bail came through 4 hours prior, in which they still did not release me, even though my bail was paid. And the person who went to pay my bail was also informed that I had an EBT card. So you can see that I was now being profiled as a poor person. I was being profiled as a woman of color. I was being profiled because I had an Africa flag. And I was simply being profiled for whatever the reasons were that Smyrna's police department wanted to meet their quota or to arrest me. They never impound my car. The same, when I got my bail done, they gave me my keys, they gave me back my California driver's license, and I went right in my car and drove right off of their premises. Yet, they told me that my car was out of compliance according to their law. You think that they could have taken the car and impounded it. So what needed to be arrested was my car. They could have taken my driver's license and suspended them. But you see, they knew they had no cause to do that, because we are free to travel from one end of the United States to another, provided we are traveling on current ID. My ID was current, thank God. California gave me permission to travel outside of California. My tags were paid currently. I was insured, and this was a horrific mistake that the Department of Smyrna made. Not only did they make a mistake in arresting me, but also violated my civil rights by having me cut my hair, humiliate me in the manner in which they did, made some gross assumptions about my EBT card, and then had me strip my clothes off and to put on prison clothing. Again, wondering why they were going to do that on a traffic ticket that I did not pay on the spot. And I have four other females that came in crying, black women who have their children, who their children were in daycare. And I got to tell you something. I don't know if they were ever able to make their bail. Thank God that I had my children and friends and loved ones and those who knew me by my radio station was able to gather the resources together and to bail me out. Sister Neil will talk to you in a little bit later about even the bail bonds here in Smyrna. We have a city in Georgia that still continues to have debtors' prisons. And it is up to the citizens of this state to rail up and let their voices be heard. We cannot continue to violate people this way. Debtors' prisons is no more. Why then is Smyrna making their budgets on this sort of a situation? A debtors' prison in the United States has been presented for years, but few of you know about that. And it's been written. The ones who know about it are victims like myself. We don't even know they exist until when we're being taken to jail and when we are then put in a place where we think, what the heck just happened to us? Now I am sporting a misdemeanor. And that might not mean anything to those of you who dabble in the felon area. But listen, I should not have to have a record period. I had a right to show up to the court. I had a right to defend myself. I had a right bring that ticket and have that ticket be excused. I had a right to do that, and my rights were violated. I was instead arrested on a traffic violation. I had no drugs on me, ladies and gentlemen. I had no illegal weapons on me, ladies and gentlemen. I was not running and driving fast and breaking the speed, ladies and gentlemen. I was not even changing lanes erratically, ladies and gentlemen. I had nothing that would cause me to be a danger on the streets of Georgia, except that for Georgia in Smyrna chose not to acknowledge my California plates, chose not to acknowledge my California sticker or registration, chose not to acknowledge my driver's license. And what could have been a fix-it ticket then, he chose not to give that to me, but instead wanted to arrest me. Now, I will let you know something. If indeed I was not given the opportunity, but somebody else behind me got a chance to go in and get their car fixed, or just given a warning, then I definitely see some discrimination. But we don't even have to go there. The very fact that I was arrested for a current driver's license that allows me to drive anywhere in the United States, the fact that I was arrested for having a California registration sticker that was current that allows me to keep my car on the highway and to be able to drive my car safely, that I cannot understand. And if indeed this police officer believed that my emission was one that was a danger to others, he could have called a tow truck and could have had me tow my car away. Instead of that, he had me drive the same car, follow him to the courthouse, and then when I got there and couldn't pay my ticket, I got back in my same car and drove myself over to the jail following him. And after my bail was paid, they handed me my car keys and my driver's license and my purse 7 hours later. And I got into my car and drove off of the police department's premises in the same car that they said had a sticker. Now, can someone in Georgia explain to me why in God's name did I get a ticket? Why am I now sporting a misdemeanor? And why was my civil rights violated to have had to have cut my hair, to have taken my clothes off, and to have stripped off into jail clothing? Can someone explain that to me? Oh, do you think I am upset? I had to get myself an attorney, and I want my attorney to give the full order of the law. I don't want anything dismissed. I want justice to be done, because if this is happening to me, it is happening to other people. Now, let's back off of my case now. Sister Neal just mentioned to you that a woman in her 50s found herself also in jail. 55 years old, Delino was doing a 48-hour sentence for failing to pay her truancy fee from her children. And now this woman shows up dead. Something is definitely wrong with the system. Debtor's prison is alive and well, and it is a violation, to say the least. And we need to make that be heard even to our tribunal. We cannot, as a civil community, a civil society, we can no longer continue to have debtors, prisons outlawed. This is not right. And you cannot disguise a law underneath another law for the purposes of simply making money off of people because they can't pay a ticket. This is outrageous. We ought to be standing up and shouting out and let our voices be heard. This is happening. I am not the only one this has happened to. Ms. DeLeo, I'm so sorry that her life has been taken as a result of this, and you can read that article on Mrs. Neal's website. You can also read it in the AP report. Again, her first name, reflecting on the death of Elaine. You can look that up and see what unfortunately took place with this woman. Modern-day debtors' prisons alleged in Ohio,
also in Ohio. We're seeing this coming up. So again, ladies and gentlemen, you are sleeping, and while you're sleeping, we're making money through people in the jail system. We're making money through people in the prison system. We're making money in taking kids out of school and putting them in alternative education and preparing them for that pipeline into the prison system. We have got to stand up and let our voices be heard. The American Civil Liberty Union, we need to talk up and we need to be out and let people know that enough is enough. You cannot continue to use poverty as a crime. Poverty is not a crime. Not being able to pay a ticket is not a crime. We should not be arrested because we cannot pay a bill. And so with that, I want Sister Neal, if she's there, to come in, and let's put some more meat on this bone.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kennedy. And you are right. The thing is that when people like you are arrested, if they cannot immediately, I mean that moment, pay a traffic ticket that's over $400, if they cannot immediately pay it, then they are remanded to jail, and that happened in Smyrna, Georgia. What happens is that not only are they billed for that, but the taxpayers are billed for that. Because everybody who goes to jail overnight, or even some people, it may take them a week or more to get up, being their bond money as well as their ticket money, to get out of the situation. Everybody who goes to jail for something like that, the taxpayer is also billed for their arrest. Jails and prisons do not operate free. And we know that the normal cost of a person being held in jail in some states like Georgia, I believe it's around $25,000 per year. But I want you to know that in other states, for instance, in New York, the average cost of an inmate being incarcerated for a year, say they're charged with some crime and they can't make bail, you know, being there, they stay in jail even though they're innocent, because we're all innocent until proved guilty. So these innocent people in New York cost taxpayers an average of $168,000 per year. So these arrests that could be avoided, for instance, debtors' prison and long-term incarceration at bonds that the people cannot afford to pay, in order to be able to be let out of prison and wait for their trial date, these things cost the taxpayers a great deal of money because of that taxpayer money that will be spent to warehouse individuals in jails while they wait for their day in court. I think that is the crux of the matter. I think that is why people are being arrested in debtors' prison situations. People who have done no real crime, they just are behind in their bills, or they didn't run around town with $400-something in their pocket ready to spend, and they get a traffic ticket. So these are situations where it appears that prison investors are capitalizing by subjecting Americans to treatment as though they're criminals for non-criminal offenses, and you, the taxpayer, are the one who pays the bills on this. So if you don't want to pay bills to arrest people immediately if they can't pay a traffic ticket, if you don't want to do that, then you need to please let your officials know that you want more parks, you want more schools, you want more jobs programs, you want more community activities that you can take your family to. You would like your money to be spent on programs and services for free people instead of arresting your neighbors unnecessarily. Go ahead, Dr. Kennedy.
Well, very good, Sister Neal, very good. I'm looking at an article that was published in Money Watch, the newspaper, the magazine's called Money Watch, and it talks about debtors' prisons. It says debtors' prisons thrive, and it was also covered on CBS News. They go on to say that thousands of Americans are sent to jail not for committing a crime, but because they can't afford to pay for traffic tickets or their medical bills. And the court seems to be making this process very available and very easy for people to go to jail. They are sleeping in bed with the Department of Correction for simply having people who cannot pay a traffic ticket or who cannot even pay for a medical bill, they are now being arrested. There is a difference between stealing and there's a difference between not being able to pay a bill. Let me say that again. There is a difference between stealing and not being able to pay a bill. I stole nothing on February the 6th. I stole nothing, but instead I was arrested because I could not pay a traffic ticket. Do you understand? And so CBS also recognized that. Money Watch presented an article the very same presence. So this is going on. And as you said, Sister Neal, instead of us taxpayers using this money for better transportation, we have counties here in Georgia, such as Cherokee County, such as Clark County, that has no transportation, no public transportation for their people to get around, to go to doctor's appointments, for them to get around, to go to jobs, for them to get around, to go to apartments. There is no public transportation. And yet we would take taxpayers' money and we would arrest people for simply not being able to pay a traffic ticket on the spot. You have other ways of getting that money. If a person does not show up to court to defend themselves, you can always put out a bench warrant for them. If a person should flee the state and go somewhere else, that means that when they come back through that state, there will be a warrant waiting for them. That means that if they do not take care of business, it will go on their insurance. So there is a number of ways to be able to make the necessary collection for the individual. You do not have to put people in jail. When you take up the space of a bed in jail, when you have real criminals running around, you really don't do your community justice. When a police wastes his time and his professional training to pull over someone like myself, and because whether he has his own biases about EBT cards or whether he has his own biases about flags that look like an African flag, or whether he has a bias because he doesn't like my California driver's license or my sticker, he has wasted his training. He has wasted taxpayers' money to put me as a Californian in a Georgia jail. I want my senators in the state of California to be vocal on this. I intend for my senators, for my senator, where I give my vote, I want my senator in the state of California to ask the question as to why did Georgia and the city of Georgia, Smyrna, feel that it was necessary to arrest me. What type of a law do you have that says I have to be arrested? I would want to make sure that nobody in California comes to Georgia in case they are arrested. If you're coming to see your grandchild and you want to stay here more than 30 days, you could be arrested. If you are a student coming here to look at some options for your education, you could be arrested if you stay by past 30 days. If you are coming to job hunt and looking at your options, past 30 days, you could be arrested. If you're coming here to get some special medical care with physicians or wonderful medical treatment here, and you're here past 30 days, you could be arrested.
We're talking about a law that the state of Georgia has passed, and now you have debtors' prisons that are here in Smyrna, and you have them in other parts of the country. You have them in Ohio, and you have them in Pennsylvania. You have them in a number of places. And as a taxpayer, are you going to sit back and allow your monies to be put into this frivolous behavior rather than take your taxpayers' money for better parks, for better education, for better housing, for better transportation? What are you going to do about this, taxpayers? Are you going to sit back and let some bogus department take your money and use it irrationally, or are you going to stand up for your rights and says enough is enough?
Well, that is a good question, Dr. Kennedy. What will the taxpayers do? How much will the taxpayers of the United States of America take? You know, a very noted quote, and I'm not sure I can quote it exactly, but it says that they will keep on heaping on you whatever they can as long as you will take it. So we have watched a prison industrial complex grow up in this country. And now it started out with the war on drugs. That was the excuse that started it. And now it is ever expanding. And it has started reaching its tentacles into people's lives who have committed no crimes at all. Miss Eileen, who died mysteriously in Pennsylvania because she had been arrested as a debtor to the state on truancy fees, her children's truancy fees. This woman was not a criminal. She, according to the state of Pennsylvania, owed $2,000 in truancy fees. And she was arrested for that. And they kept her in jail that first night, I believe. She died mysteriously. And it never has, as far as I understand it, been explained to us what killed her or who killed her. A judge went on live right away, and he was quoted as saying, did she get scared to death? Well, you know, I doubt if a single mother with seven children would be scared to death because she was locked in a cell. I don't think that that's enough to scare a woman to death who had shown herself to be strong enough to be a single mother in this United States of America. She had raised some of her children already to adulthood before she was arrested. I'm sure she had seen numerous circumstances. I'm sure she had been through numerous situations. Why would staying all night in jail scare her to death? So I'm not sure if they ever found out what or who killed her, but Miss Eileen DeNino was dead when they checked, according to them. That's the state of Pennsylvania, where prison profiteering is off the chain in Pennsylvania. It's off the hook. And it's also off the hook throughout America. We saw a judge in Florida actually attack an attorney who refused to waive his client's right to a speedy trial. There are any number of people who are incarcerated right now who have been denied their civil right to a speedy trial. Some people are arrested like Dr. Gene Kennedy was, and they are kept without setting a trial date until the prison profiteers get ready to give them a trial, if they ever do. If they ever do. I want you to know that prison profiteering has just overrun justice in America. There are two men in Mississippi, black men with mental illness, that they have kept without giving them any trial for 7 years, one of them, and 8 years, another. These are people who were arrested like Dr. Gene Kennedy was. Innocent people, innocent unless you're proved guilty in a court of law. So these are two innocent men who are in Mississippi prison because they have not been given a trial. in Pennsylvania, Terrell Scott was kept almost 5 years with trial denied. He never got a trial yet. And when he agreed to sign a plea bargain, they let him out only for 2 months, and then they rearrested Terrell Scott. And that's T-E-R-R-E-L-L, last name S-C-O-T-T, this time on the fabrication that he missed probation appointments. Now, when were these probation appointments set for? Two of them were set for days that he had not even been released from prison yet. They set probation their appointments for days that the man was still incarcerated. And this third appointment that he missed, he had gotten out of jail and he had gotten committed to a mental hospital to deal with the PTSD from the trauma that he experienced in jail in Pennsylvania for 4.5 years with trial denied. So this man has missed 3 probation appointments. 2 of them were set for days that he was still incarcerated. He had never been released from jail, and they gave him probation appointments knowing he would miss them. And then the third one was set for a day when he was committed to a mental hospital. So these people are doing anything and everything to your fellow man, to your neighbors, in order to earn your tax money as prison investments, as prison profiteering. They are gone. Really, prison profiteering has spread throughout America like an airborne disease. And as I said, we have 6 computer executives who are incarcerated. And I believe, Dr. Kennedy, are they in Colorado?
I believe they came from that prison.
They were arrested for overdue bills to a temporary service company that they used technical staff from this temporary service company to tweak software that they were using to sell to the USA. They were tweaking it according to the specifications that the USA gave them. And they wanted to make their time, whatever timeline they were on, and they used temporary service company help. And they were expected to sell this software for possibly billions of dollars. And instead of that, they are all in jail today because of that due bills to a temporary service company, and the charge was fraud. So people are missing their bills, they're missing paying bills, and they're going to jail for fraud. I had someone report to me last year that his wife was in jail because of a furniture bill. It went down as fraud. She had a furniture bill that was overdue. A woman on my street went to jail. She went to jail because she had not paid her traffic tickets. In Georgia, when one goes to court for a traffic ticket, they must pay the traffic ticket immediately. And even if they give them a court date, which they did not give Dr. Kennedy a court date and time to go to court, they took her directly from her car to jail. But even people who get a court date for their traffic tickets, if they go to court and they do not have the entire traffic ticket amount, they are given the option to be put on probation for the traffic ticket. And then they are assigned so much money to pay a month toward their probation and toward their traffic ticket. So that gives them now 2 bills to pay. Okay, they started out with a traffic ticket. But if the traffic ticket was too high for their budget to be able to pay it immediately on court date, instead of them just having the traffic ticket to pay, they now have traffic ticket to pay plus probation, okay, a probationary fee. And they give them a timeline to pay it. And if they don't meet that criteria, they are then arrested. And the charge that they're arrested on is not having the money to pay the traffic ticket, the charge is then violation of probation, violation of probation. So what they do is they take what's really a debtor's prison situation and they simply put a different label on it so that that's not obvious. But we're making it obvious to you right now that we have a serious problem, a serious debtor-prison problem throughout the United States is spreading. And I want you to be concerned about that, especially Ms. Eileen Denino, who was arrested and killed. I don't know how she died, but even if she did get scared to death, that's still a result of her being arrested. And so she was killed because she could not pay her children's truancy fees immediately. So I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I want to invite Dr. Kennedy to say whatever it is on her heart to say to you. I want to let you know that this is going to be an ongoing conversation at our regular time on Sunday. This is Human Rights for Prisoners March, and we're on Sundays at 3 p.m. on Human Rights Demand at Blog Talk Radio. The show is called Human Rights Demand. That's the channel. And we're on at 3 p.m. every day throughout the week, except for Friday when we come on air at 6:30 p.m. with the Jenny Strozier Keeping It Real broadcast. And so we're going to continue this conversation next Sunday. And you please be ready for it, because we would like for you to know that your calls are invited. Your questions and comments are invited, and we would like to hear about more people who are in debtor's prison in the United States right now. We want to hear from you. There are other things that are going to happen to people in the USA for past due debts. For instance, if you owe back taxes, I'm told that you will not be able to get a passport if you owe back due taxes. It may also be a case where if you owe student bills, student loan bills, that you won't be able to get a passport. I'll have that information for you next Sunday at 3 p.m. on the Human Rights for Prisoners March. So don't quote me on it right now, but I know it was being discussed that passports would not be issued to individuals who owe back due taxes, U.S. Income taxes, or people who owe student loans. Dr. Kennedy, we have 40 seconds for you to close out, and we certainly appreciate your coming tonight and your agreement to come next Sunday at 3 p.m.
Yes, thank you so much for allowing me this time, the space, and to educate your listening audience to know that debtor's prison is alive and well, and we must also look at dismantling that type of a injustice. An injustice to one is an injustice to all. I look forward to being back with you again next week. Peace and love. Keep the fight. Keep it going.
God bless you, audience. Thank you for your attention.